You know what's going on here today? That's new.
Hello, Smitty. Welcome to the final episode of Cracking Aces.
Erica called?
No. Multiple producers, multiple shows. I believe a couple content people. Yeah. I don't know. Someone just tweeted at me, heard about Cracking Aces. You'll come back stronger, kid. I didn't hear anything about Cracking Aces.
Well, I didn't hear anything about first time, long time until yesterday. We were setting up for an interview with Philly boxer who's, and Roan called me because Erica called him and said that they're dropping all the resources for a first time. Well, we can still do it. We can still do it like this. But so, Erica called Roan.
That's what's happening, as far as I can tell, is they're cutting resources from a ton of shows, but we already don't use resources.
Yeah, so we don't use it anyway. We're fine.
Everybody's just hearing rumors. That's the thing. Like, nobody's being told anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bad week at Barstool. It's only Tuesday. Hello, King Mintz.
How we doing, Nate? I'm only hearing rumors. I'm still in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm hearing rumors of lots of things happening in the Barstool office. The one thing I got to know, we're still recording Cracking Aces. That has to be a win, right?
Thanks to Benjamin Mintz. Thank you, Ben Mintz.
Thank you, Mintz.
Oh, I think all y'all.
Hi, Jake. How are you?
Hello.
I don't know if you've been paying attention. Or you've been
to this drama?
Yesterday drama, new drama today. Ben Mintz didn't take off his hat for the national anthem. That's a huge deal.
That was bad, dude. That was bad. I'll atone to that. I was so nervous because I kept flubbing what was the second and third lyric that, like, I was so laser focused on doing that right for the anthem, I forgot to take my cap off the Barstool Classic Anthem. But I mean, there's no excuse for the no cap, but I thought the performance, you know, I got some good feedback. People,
I think that was one of the better national anthems I've heard in my life.
Oh, the best since Carl Lewis.
Some would say it goes Carl Lewis, Whitney Houston, Ben Mintz.
Mintz, can you personally apologize to the troops right now?
Yes, I would like to personally apologize to the troops. Both my grandfathers served in World War II. I'm a huge supporter of the troops, and the last thing I'd ever want to do is make them mad. And I thought I put a lot of heart and effort and practice into that national anthem, only for the cap thing to kind of mess it up. But I feel like I didn't catch near as much heat as I expected to. I think people could tell at least I was trying, and it was an honest mistake.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you're basically a terrorist, but yeah, you tried.
One last thing about what we talked. I don't know if you're.
I want to get into the little of it because really... I'm out of the office and I want to catch up on what the hell y'all are talking about.
Nobody talked to you, Ben Mintz?
I mean, me and Stephen Shea's FF pod went down.
Yeah, the factory.
Okay.
The factory was one of the ones that went down. I was just told, I got off the phone with Playboy Marty a minute ago, just like, what the hell is going on?
But with that being said, and this might sound like a surprise coming from me, Cracking Aces had the opportunity to basically go down when, like, Owen left. And thanks to 97.5% Nate, like, that's why we're here. Nate we just show up. Me, Mintz,
Nate's doing a great job on the production.
But no, here's the thing, though, guys. Here's the thing, and thank you. But here's the thing is, like, people – we get and like the listeners are awesome, and like, you know, we don't have like a huge audience, but like we have like a nice, loyal, awesome audience. And but we get asked a lot in like DMs, why isn't the show on YouTube, or like, why don't you guys do this, why don't you have live appearances or live tournaments? Like, they just ripped resources out of 10 shows, and so they weren't going to give us resources. This is just like love of the game. Do the best. Like, I've started clipping. Like, I'm learning how to do YouTube.
Yeah, but what we're saying, this show would not have survived without you, Nate. 100% your effort.
I mean,
that's appreciated.
But at the end of the day, all we're doing is shooting the shit about poker for an hour a week. Yeah. Like, it's not like I'm saving dogs and doing heart surgery.
Yeah, you're doing a really good job on the social accounts too, though.
It's just fun. It's just fun to make poker memes or whatever. I don't know.
And thank you very much, Whistlepig, for your continued support.
Oh, yeah. This show that still exists, I guess, with a presenting sponsor. How do I pull up the ad? Watch it have disappeared. No, there it is. Whistlepig Whiskey. Our homies at Whistlepig Whiskey have done it again because they don't think anything worth doing. Now, I don't know how to read. We think anything worth doing is worth doing 100%. They created the first 100% rye whiskey, perfect for sipping and mixing. Piggyback is made with 100% rye whiskey for a bold, full spice flavor. It's a bartender's dream, and it's a Barstool Smitty's dream once he gets off this podcast, because it's perfect for mixing up cocktails. They've aged it 6 years, and it has a 96.56 proof. Sign me the fuck up. Trust me on this one. It is truly 100% of the good stuff. The call to action. Get your own bottle at whistlepigwhiskey.com or a local retailer. Send us a picture and say, please don't cancel Cracking Aces. They like talking about poker once a week. So, I mean, people do send pictures of Whistlepig, which helps at least me a little bit inside, knowing that people are at least like listening and paying attention and helping out the good people, the good Ben Minces and the Jake Tools and the Adam Smiths of the world. So thank you to Whistlepig. We love you. Thank you to people who listen to the show. We love you. Please subscribe. Please hit the 5 stars. Mm-hmm. Do all that shit. 10 shows just got canceled at Barstool today. We didn't get canceled because we don't use any resources.
We're not one of them.
Ben, that's not something to celebrate about. Like, we didn't get canceled because they already decided we weren't worth the resources. Like, they decided that a long time ago.
That's true.
Thanks to everybody who listens. Thanks to everybody who supports us. We're just a dumb little podcast that could, I don't know. Jake, how are you? Give us some good news, Jake. You're like, my fiance left me.
Yeah. Oh, God.
No, I'm getting married in a week.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. I still need to ride up there, but yeah, you are.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Nervous?
Nervous?
Yeah, I would say I go back and forth between like really excited and then like crippling anxiety.
Yeah,
but in a good way.
Yeah, I wasn't nervous about getting married, obviously, which I assume you're not either, because if you are, like,
right? No,
something's off.
Right.
The actual day going off, like, that is extremely nerve-wracking. You mean worry about the weather? It's a 50-50 shot.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, this is like all the shit that's coming up. I don't have to get into it. Just with like the logistics, it's all a scam. Like, all these companies are just like we obviously hired a caterer, first of all, that we were forced into hiring.
Yeah.
Turns out they just like didn't tell our planner what they needed as far as like cookware and everything, like prep the food until like a week ago. And obviously everything that they needed to, that we needed to rent to get is already sold out. So there's just like a crisis and they're trying to like upcharge us and all this bullshit. And we're like, we're not paying for that. We're not going to pay for stuff because you didn't like get the stuff that you needed, get the materials that you needed to like throw a reasonable event.
Okay. Besides that, have you written your vows?
Not yet.
Not yet. But they're in your head. They're spinning.
They're in my head. I got to write them down. My fiance is leaving on Sunday. So I'll be here for a few days by myself. I think that's when I'll crank it out.
Oh, she's leaving to go up to Connecticut?
Yeah.
Wait, you're getting married not this coming up Saturday, the Saturday after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not a week, week and a half.
Okay.
I'm leaving for Connecticut on next Wednesday.
Smitty, did you write your own vows?
No. Yeah.
You didn't.
Presented. Yeah.
Oh, because
yeah, I'll be super nervous to do those. But I don't know. I just black out every time I have to give a big public speech.
I think you'll be fine. Keep it short. Keep it light. Maybe put in a joke. They love that.
Be a fun day.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I'm excited for you.
I can't wait.
Aw.
You carry over that wedding luck over to the WSOP.
I'm playing.
Is that where the honeymoon is going to be?
Yeah. Is the honeymoon at the Rio?
I mean, kind of.
Got a thing called Rio Love.
It's coming off the tail end of a not a honeymoon, but like two long distance trips.
Oh yeah, you're getting married and going to Ireland, but not for a honeymoon.
No, yeah, it's a month after we're going to Ireland for a wedding, and then flying Ireland to Jackson Hole for another wedding, and then Jackson Hole to Vegas. I'll see you in the Bounty.
That's the whole world, basically.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Prepare to go to Jackson Hole next week.
Nice. I'll, have to do a scouting report for me.
Yeah.
Tell me the good spots.
Pat and Linda was riding horseback, 7 years old. Retirement. Sure. Go ahead.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm just getting texts.
Yeah.
Was there any poker drama this week?
Poker drama? Women want respect in the poker world. That was the big drama in poker was the women of poker are tired of being sexually harassed at the table. I think that's fair. I think that's a fair gripe to have with the poker world.
Yeah, definitely very fair.
Jake, I have a question for you regarding
sexual harassment.
Guys being assholes at the table towards girls. Say there's a all ladies event, or maybe not even all ladies, a senior citizens only event. Are they legally allowed to not have you play? Didn't somebody enter like an all ladies event, some Sean dude, a couple years ago?
Well,
was it deep?
It was deep. It yeah. So there's been a couple. There, it's not only deep, but deep dressed up as a woman.
Yeah.
There was another guy.
Oh no!
There was another guy who bought in, and he was like, "Oh no, don't worry, I'm donating all to charity." And the ladies, I think the response was like, "Well, just donate money to charity and get the fuck out of here."
Right. Well, the guy at Borgata entered it because he was like, "I came to Atlantic City. There was nothing else to play, and I wanted to play poker." And then he won it, which is like really fucking funny, but.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm not positive on this, but from my understanding, you can legally set a limit for age, but not
for
gender.
Yeah. So that's why
they make the women's event at the World Series a $10,000 buy-in with a $9,000 discount for women.
But no, like a bunch of women spoke up on Twitter about, and me and Jake talked about this on an episode like a long time ago, is how just like a lot of it's towards like women dealers too. And just like these like snide, like kind of like creepy sexist comments that fat guys at the table make towards women. And it's like, don't tolerate that. Just be like, dude, like, what are you doing? And it's like, no, we're just joking. It's like, but like when it's like really gross and creepy, like call it out and just like, and the floor is definitely going to start cracking down like a ton more on it now that the topic's been raised. I remember I told a story about this guy I sat next to. I want to say it was at Borgata, and he was just being like a fucking creep. And then I think he said something. I don't know if he said the N word. I don't know what he said. And it was just the whole table was like, all right, get this guy. We got a guy like kicked off the table. Like,
There's always going to be just pieces of shit like that.
Well, the goal is to not always have pieces of shit like that because you make examples out of people.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I think there's like definitely there's two things. There's the harassment of women, either dealers or other players. And then there's like, okay, well, why aren't there more women in general playing the game? Which is a whole nother conversation. But there's just always going to be assholes like to women, to men, like there's just going to be, you just can't like set a precedent enough where like an amateur is going to come in and, you know, maybe play one or two tournaments a year. And he's just like a bigot and like a scumbag. And he's just going to inevitably exercise that.
If it says on the tournament ticket, like zero tolerance policy for harassment, like that's it. Like
the dealer. No, I mean, I think there should be a super strict penalty if anything like that happens.
I think it should not take much. I think they should lean to the side of at least at the beginning for now, like a zero tolerance. Like if, you know, if the dealer thinks it's out of line, like we'll trust our dealers, because the second you stop trusting your dealers, why would they want to deal anymore? Like I unless the table like votes 10 to nothing that the dealer is out of line, like, I don't know, something like that. I would say trust the dealers and zero tolerance policy, and it would nip it in the bud like real quick.
Yeah. I mean, I think that should go for any sexual harassment. And then just like dealer beratement in general it can be pretty harsh from what I've seen.
It's unreal.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Just get that shit out of the game. Get it out of, just crack down on it.
It's like a long time
you
coming. Go ahead.
Do y'all think like women's only satellites to like the main event or big events would like encourage a bunch of women to go play each other and get a few women's seats? Or is that a stupid idea?
I get what you're saying, but like the women that are going to play a woman that's going to play a satellite, I would assume already plays poker.
I think it goes further. Like if you want to get more women involved, it a lot of that happens away from the table, like just building some sort of community where, you know, poker is encouraged or introduced, and there's I think it's called Powder Poker, is that what it's called? It's run by Juan Liu, and I think Melanie Wisner is involved, maybe Jamie, where it's a big...
There's the Ladies International Poker Series.
This is like a course taught by women pros to like corporate. It's like an actual course that where they come in and they introduce, general poker rules, poker theory, that type of stuff to like a corporate setting to try to, and I think their goal is to try to spread awareness of it. You know, a lot of those, especially in like corporate finance structures, there's some relevance. There's some skill sets that can apply to both.
Yeah. So it's poker power, and this is brilliant. Yeah. It's like how at fundraisers and stuff, there's always just like no limit hold'em tournament, and so it like teaches like I guess C-suite executives, women, like how to play poker. Kind of like I know like. In college, there is a course in the business school called Golf for Business, and it taught you how to like play golf, but also how to have like business meetings on the golf course, which I thought was a really cool idea. But yeah, this is Jennifer. How do you say it? Shahadi?
Yeah.
God, I can't pronounce names. Jean Liu and Melanie Wisner.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure Melanie was telling me about it back in November, and I think those three women are the main like headliners, and it's owned by somebody that I think has an interest in poker, and she may have worked for used to work for Goldman Sachs or still does. But yeah, it's like stuff like that I think really starts to like pique the interest of the broader female community. I saw some random stuff about people talking biologically, biological differences. I don't really know too much about that stuff, but
I don't know. Like Maria Ho is a great poker player. Like I think she's a great ambassador.
Oh no, I mean 100%. I completely agree.
Kind of like to get one of them on and just hear what they say about it at some point.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I did want to say something, and I think you guys will be surprised at what I'm about to say, but I want to give Phil some credit where credit's
due. Stop saying Phil.
He made it right with the guy who he unintentionally slow rolled.
He gave him the 5K.
He gave him the 5K. I think he ended up giving him the whole pot or like hit like whatever was in the middle. I think it was like 8 or 9,000. Oh no, maybe it was half the pot plus the 5K. I think that makes sense.
Okay. So he made it right.
So he made it right. I think that was a nice thing to do. Kind of realized that he messed up.
The internet told him he messed up and he
Yeah, you're right.
He wanted internet points.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. Which is
But that's good.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to nitpick, but it's not like he did it. It's not like he did it. It's not like he woke up and he was like, oh, I messed up. He woke up, read 20,000 mentions on Twitter and goes, I'm going to make it right now. Like,
right,
this is from Hadley for Jake.
What are we doing?
How to get through a downswing. I'd ask Nate, but I'm pretty sure he's never had an upswing.
Mean.
Jake, answer the question, please.
Oh, that's the question. It's just how to get through an upswing. Sorry, I was waiting for
with an additional shot at me just for kicks. Hey, Hadley, go subscribe and hit 5 stars 1,000 times on every iPhone you've ever seen in your life.
If you're going through a downswing, I would say to really, you can take it two ways. Sometimes for me, if I feel like taking a break and stepping away for a certain period of time is going to be the best for my mindset, I'll just do that. That could be a day, it could be 2 days, just to completely reset. Generally speaking, I would recommend like looking into why you're on a downswing. It could just be because you're running really bad, like at the, you know, maybe at the higher stakes you're playing, you're losing your flips, you're getting cooler, and whatever it might be. But look into it and do some self-reflecting, do some research and study on your game, look for some of the smaller mistakes you're making and try to correct them, and really just focus on the process of maybe cleaning up some areas that you feel you need to improve on, because in the end it's a crazy, crazy variance game and you're gonna swing a lot. So you really want to minimize your mistakes when there's nothing you can do. Like some days there's just nothing you can do. Some weeks there's nothing you can do. You're just meant to lose. And it's reducing your losses as much as you can.
I have one thing to add to this that was a mistake I used to make in my career. And there's this thing, it's a gambling fallacy where we all want to chase money when we're stuck. Like everybody's like obsessed with getting unstuck. You're down a ton. Like, I got to get this money back. I got to get this money back. That's totally the wrong mindset. And then the other part of that fallacy is when we all run real hot, we tend to take our feet off the gas. The time you need to be playing all the freaking time is when you're on a heater. Like even if you win 5K, 10K, 50K, you play until that heater's over. And I feel like it's a thing that I used to do wrong. It's a thing called winner's tilt, where you like win a lot of money and you take your feet off the gas when you need to maximize your good runs. And then when it's going bad, I agree with what Jake's saying. The time to scale back is when you're running bad, not to take your foot off the gas when you're hot. I think that's a mistake I used to make a lot.
Yeah. And you know what? Like this game can just completely mess with your head. Like for me, when I came back to start playing, I ran so well for about 9 or 10 weeks. And then like I had 1 week where I was just kind of getting just beat up everywhere. Like there's just nothing I can do. And so it's like, do I go on like crazy tilt because like I took a few bad beats at higher stakes, or do I like put it into perspective and realize like that was inevitably going to happen. And it will continue to happen at some point. Like one or two sessions shouldn't affect your entire year's worth of volume. So like, if you have one day that's not good, if you have 1 week that's not good, but you're consistently playing throughout the year, like in the long run of that time, it's going to be pretty minimal.
Yeah. And just based on what you are following up on, what you just said, I think what a lot of people do, you know, the graph is going down and you want to make it shoot back up all in one fell swoop. So they'll move up stakes when on a downswing, which one makes the games harder and two makes it more possible for you to lose even more instead of grinding it back up little by little. Don't make that. That's an easy way to go completely bust though.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you know, if the game is good and you feel like you're in a good mindset, go for it. But if you're clearly like off your game, then just maybe game select a little bit more. I wouldn't try to like rush into the next high stakes game that you might not normally play just to try to get even.
Let's see. I mean, Brandon didn't have to ask it this way, but it's a fair question for you, Jake. And I think he's saying, he's asking it because you've been playing professionally for, you know, 15 years or 10 years or whatever you want to say. Question for Jake. What gets your dick hard in the morning to grind the online streets? I think it's a fair question.
It is a good, it's actually a great question. Honestly, I'm kind of struggling right now. Like, I don't know. It's pretty hard.
Your dick or getting it hard?
Just the motivation to, I don't know. It's been pretty, I would say in the last, like, maybe year or so, maybe just because there's, for me personally, there's been a lot of like external bullshit.
Yeah.
On one hand, it's nice to like escape everything and just like go in and play. But yeah, I mean, I have been doing it for, I don't even know how old I am, like 14 years. And so like, sometimes like even today, like I got up and, you know, I'm like having my coffee and I'm at my desk and I'm like, all right, you know, I got a whiteboard up here with a bunch of to-dos. And then, you know, there's two good games going. I'm like, all right, I'm here. I may as well play. And then I play for like 3 or 4 hours and I'm just, it's just not.
You're playing with a soft dick right now. Like you're trying to jam a soft dick into a pussy and it's just not doing it for you.
I guess given that the original analogy, yeah, that's probably pretty accurate.
What would get rock hard again? Is it, you know, things calming down? Is it up in the stakes? Is it, what if online poker like nationwide went legal again and there was a lot more efficiency?
Yeah, I mean that might help. Honestly, I feel like I should go play live. Like I should go do something live, whether it's like, I don't know, a game in the city or something, or play some tournaments. I mean, I really have no time to play tournaments until the main event or right before it. But I think that'd be a nice change up for sure. I honestly also think, and it's a little bit more boring, but I think when like myself or anybody is really feeling this way, like really diving into trying to improve in certain areas is actually like a very, very good way to increase your motivation.
I mean, that's actually like a really funny answer, because you're saying like, if I'm not motivated to play poker, I'll study poker instead. Like, that's just like such love of the game shit that 99% of the population doesn't have.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I know for me, a lot of pros, like I know how to do that. And some people might like more recreational players.
Most people will go play video games or something. I don't want to play poker, so I'll study it instead. That would be like, hey coach, like don't put me in the lineup. I'm going to go, you know, into the cage. Like people want to be in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I've felt it even before these like last couple of weeks when I was just like, I was running really hot and for way too long. You know, I think once that stops happening, you kind of come off of cloud nine and you're like, all right, like here's where my motivations actually lie when I'm not just sun running every day. So for me, it's probably a good time to like take a little time off. I mean, I am getting married, so it's a decent excuse.
I think that a lot of it is just what's going on. I mean, you had the elbow surgery and you're about to get married. And
yeah, that's the thing.
Wedding and the honeymoon behind you.
And the,
you know, and you get your life reset, you're going to be like playing more.
That's the thing is I can't do the things that I normally like to do right now. So it's like I'm limited. So I'm here, I'm home or around. I've like started working out again. But you know, I still feel like a little bit of a, slave to the office.
Yeah. But that's actually a great restraint by you. And I know you have a lot more time, and if there's any advice I can give on that situation, which is obviously limited, it's I sometimes force myself to play poker when I don't want to, because I don't have a lot of time to play. So if I have a limited window in which, you know, oh, I'm at the casino or this tournament's going on, or I can play online tonight, but I'm not feeling it, or I'm not concentrated enough, or I just know that I'm off, I'm still going to play because that's my limited time and I fucking lose consistently. So all you kids out there, don't force it. Like, if you don't feel like playing that day, don't.
Speaking of, I have a bad beat to tell the class. I had a few dollars in my ACR account. I played an $11 satellite to a $109 satellite, and the 109 had five packages guaranteed to the main event. So $12,500 packages guaranteed to the main event. I won the $11 satellite to the 109. And then, so 780 people started the $109 satellite. I had 30 bigs, which was about average stack with 39 people left, 60 paying. I got ace king in versus ace seven, all in pre-flop, 30 big blinds each. And he flopped the nut flush. And so instead of having a top five stack with a main event seat on the line, I finished 39th.
Did you go back and see if he got a seat?
I didn't. I
closed
my laptop immediately, and then I walked to my kitchen and I picked up some 3-chi. What a segue! Skip the dispensary.
Organic, baby.
Skip the dispensary, Ben Mintz, and get the THC delivered to your door. Get 5% off Delta 8, HHC, THCV, and more from 3-chi. 3-chi's Delta 8 is a federal legal version of THC and a more functional alternative to marijuana. Go to 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. And you use promo code STOOL5 or use ACES. That one still works too. But if you use STOOL5, you get 5% off and you get a flag sticker. If you use ACES, you don't get the sticker. The sale is it's exclusive for our listeners. You must be 21 to purchase. You know they have the edibles, the vapes, the drink enhancers, the brownie, which I love more than life itself. Gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel. With a clear head and less anxiety, I will be bringing 3-chi products to Jake's wedding. Get 5% off all products at 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. Use STOOL5 as your promo code. Get a sticker, 21 plus to order. That's how you fucking segue. God damn. I'm going to have to edit the hell out of it. I'm saying that's why they don't cut this show, but they already did. We were the original cut show. We were cut before, like, we were made a show and then immediately cut.
The OG. Well, not OG, just the O, not the G.
I didn't get what that meant.
That means I've been here for a while, but haven't been useful.
Doesn't G mean gangster?
Yeah, just not one of the guys.
Smitty, you got any hobbies?
I did in my previous life before marriage and a kid play basketball like 3 times a week. That was fun. I would hope to get back to that at some point.
I'm trying to get like one new hobby.
I want to start. Well, okay. I'm going to start streaming, like putting together children's toys, because I put together I forget what you call it. It's like a Cooper Cruiser or like that little red van with a yellow top for like a 1-year-old. Get inside. I put that together.
Like 7 hours.
Well, yeah, my wife and I got it and we started putting it together and we were almost divorced halfway through. Like, how do these people sleep at night? I swear to God, there were fucking, the instructions matched the parts, but they didn't match the assembly. And we would YouTube it and we look back and they showed there were little just like screws that didn't fit. They didn't fit. And it's like, it's a conspiracy to just break up families. Fucking big toys. So I'm going to start putting the toys together, but I would also think other stuff that I could do. I want to teach myself how to play the piano.
You're a music guy.
That's actually, I've never played the piano, but I played the trumpet for like 9 years.
Really?
From like fourth grade through senior of high school. But I still have it. I still have it. The problem is it's really annoying and it's loud.
It is.
So I don't know how that will fly.
Trumpet guy.
The piano. So the piano is a great idea.
Do guitar. Jake, do guitar instead.
Yeah, I've been saying I'm going to teach myself guitar for like 10 years. It's not going to happen. Everyone says, oh, I want to learn guitar.
Why'd you settle on the trumpet?
Why did I settle
on choices? Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe at the time my friends were all choosing the trumpet and I was like, all right, whatever. But then I actually really liked it. I got into it for like 4 or 5 years. And then once I was out of high school, I never picked it up again.
I would say, I don't think I have hobbies. Like I watch Breaking Bad a lot. Is that a hobby? And
yeah, but people who live in New York don't have hobbies, right? Like I drink, you like go out and drink.
Yeah. Like
well, going to trivia, I guess, would be a hobby.
That's just a drinking.
That's an activity. That
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't read.
I guess I don't know the difference. Maybe there's not one.
I don't read books. I was thinking like that would be a hobby. Maybe
poker's a hobby.
Yeah, but I don't play poker that much.
Yeah, I guess poker is definitely a hobby. Not for
God.
Me.
Ain't no
anybody
hobby.
Figure out what they're doing about Vegas yet?
What's that?
Anybody figure out Vegas plans yet,
brother? We don't even know if we're going to have jobs in a month.
That's a good point.
I'm joking. I'm going the last week of June through the main.
Okay. Josh Aria hit me up and, you know, we need to get him on here for sure again before Vegas.
I mean, we're going to eat sushi with him in Vegas.
Yeah. Thick.
Where's he taking you?
Where did he like to go? Nobu, maybe? I can't remember what he said. He just loves Nobu, I think he said.
Nice.
Sounds like he's got a different bankroll than we do because I'm looking for the off strip spots a little more.
Yeah, I think Aria has an Aria bankroll.
Mincy, have you been to Sin?
Yeah, Sin is great. Love Sin. Love Sin. Big fan. I like that Umaya. The Umaya that's like $24 all you can eat, but not a buffet from the menu is a great value too. I like that one a lot.
See if there's one more question for Jake or for anybody before we wrap this up. I guess this will be a little bit of a shorter show this week, which is fine. A lot of emotions, a lot of.
Just glad we have a show.
Yeah, it's nice.
Thank you, Nate.
No, don't thank me. Why can't. We talked about this at the top of the show. Why can't we stream a Six Max or a No Limit Hold'em game from the office? That'd be dope. Best WSOP tourneys for newbies. The Millionaire Maker. It's a $1,500, $1 million for first place and 60 minute levels. It's everything you want. It's a low buy-in. It's long levels, a huge pay up top. I think that is the number one WSOP tournament for newbies.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's not like the $500 five mil because that has a half hour levels. Millionaire Maker has hour long levels.
It's a shit. The $500 one's a shit show too.
Yeah, I think Millionaire Maker is the number one tournament for beginners in the country.
Sure.
I mean, hour levels are just cool. Like, it's not half hour. It's not 40 minutes. Like, hour levels, it makes you feel like you're actually like playing a, you know, WSOP event, not just like a turbo. And I think there's like a 2K freeze out with hour levels, maybe.
Everything has hour levels unless it's under 1K.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Unless they change that. But I don't think so.
The Colossus, it's a $400 buy-in with pretty decent structure, 40 minute levels, multiple starting days. That's going to be the first event I play on June 25th. It was $314,000 for first last year for a $400 buy-in and only one re-entry per player per flight. So it's not unlimited re-entry. So I think that's a solid tournament as well.
Also, if you're looking off WSOP tournaments, I mean, the Venetian does deep stack tournaments that are great. Aria has like daily 400 games during the World Series with high payouts. They have a $3,500 tournament like a week before the main. So I mean, you could find games in Vegas. That's not even counting cash games, which explode around the main.
Yep. But check out if you go to WSOP.com/tournaments, that's the entire schedule for this year's WSOP, which is 2 weeks away.
It's crazy.
May 31st. So 3 weeks from today.
Yeah, I'm talking about the main event as if it's like 7 months from now.
Yeah,
it's just weird because we just played in November, you know, the quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. Tuesday, May 31st.
I'm looking forward to getting out there. Like, I think seeing my buddy win that Cherokee main really lit a fire in me. Just like seeing him do it, if that makes sense. It made me realize, like, enough of this shit.
And WCP comes out hot this year. Like, first day, Tuesday, May 31st, 100K high roller bounty, no limit, you know? And then June 2nd, so 2 days later, the 25K heads up. Like, they're not fucking around.
Oh, that reminds me. I feel like we should touch on this really quickly. Apparently, during EPT Monte Carlo, there may have been a live ban for Schindler, Ali, and one of his minions who were seen like on the beach during the 50K.
Yeah.
I don't think we're seeing in any other tournaments.
They played, what was it? They played the first tournament and then they were banned. They were like told not to come back.
I don't know. I didn't even realize that they got into the first one.
I think that's what I read. But yeah, live ban.
That's good.
Cheaters. That is good.
I agree with that.
Yeah. But apparently, so they were already banned on PokerStars, and it was a PokerStars event. So they just were like, if you're banned on online, you're also banned from our live events.
As it should be. There was, I know I saw another thread about some guy. I don't know who the guy is. Actually, I do. His name is Fedor Cruz, who was banned for RTA. And he was allowed to play in... he was banned for RTA on GG, I think, but he was still going to like the EPTs. But yeah, I mean, that's how it should be. Like, you know, you're banned on WSOP.com for whatever rule violation, can't play in the WSOP.
Yeah. And that's just, yeah. When your income comes from live poker and you can't play live poker.
Yeah. Gotta cut the legs off of some people.
Cool beans better be hiring.
Why are you getting banned?
No, for that.
Is Cool Beans just hiring former poker high rollers that want to make lattes?
Hey, we need to get back on that Westy train, getting that old Barstool Poker Tour cooking across the Midwest. Yeah. Try and get some income.
Look, I'm for it.
Me too. I mean, it sounds like that might be hard right now, but.
Yeah,
I'm in. Mintz London.
Let's see.
Yes, the New Orleans main event was supposed to be this weekend, and they're not having it this year. They're renovating that casino. I'm bummed. That's all. I final tabled it in 13 and 18. I wanted to play. Bummer. WPT Choctaw is this weekend in Oklahoma, but I can't swing that.
When is that?
Oklahoma starts Friday. I mean, it's the 3,500 in Oklahoma is the best ever. I got like 19th in it a couple of years ago, but it's a great one. But I'm doing South Louisiana content this weekend, so I can't pull it off.
Well,
it's like an hour north of.
Jake, are you on next week's episode next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Awesome. So. Well, this was episode. Mintz, do you know?
135.
Yep. that's the episode. That's Jake Tool. That's Adam Smith. That's the King of the South. I am Eric. Download, rate, subscribe, drink Whistle Pig, take your Thirichi, send us pictures, tag us. Keep supporting us. We're gonna keep doing the podcast as long as they let us. Kind of just a bummer of a day. But still kicking, still cracking. Mm. Smitty, any final words?
Let's keep fighting the good fight. That's all you can do.
All hail General Spanx.
See you, fellas.